Hello, I'm Bill Faulkner, and welcome to MR Safety Week 2020, the SMRT podcast. This electronic platform that we're using for these podcasts is provided for us courtesy of Northwest Imaging Forums, and we certainly appreciate their support. Now, with me on this podcast is Vera Kimbrell and Kristen Harrington. Welcome, ladies.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill. That's some pretty cool music that you had there.
Oh, thank you. I would just picked up a guitar and taped it a little earlier and then put it back down.
Everyone should know that Bill is quite the musician.
Well, unfortunately, I can't play bass, but that's okay. Now, in this podcast today, we're talking about scanning patients that have implants or devices with SAR conditions of use that are below 2.0 watts per kilogram. In other words, less than the top limit for the normal operating mode. For example, 0.4 watts per kilogram. Start with Vera and ask you, why do you think that we have implants or devices labeled with SAR values limit that are lower than the normal operating mode?
Well, I can only extrapolate from what I've been told, but there are many implants that for the last, decade or so have been unsafe. And patients who have those implants that are unsafe and aren't able to be scanned. So to be conservative, some of the implant vendors have tested to some very conservative values that will allow these patients to be scanned safely. So in order for these patients to get their MRIs, we have to operate at under what we would normally use, 2.0 watts per kilogram. So I think that's probably the reason.
Well, I mean, in reality, the conditions of use are really just more of a statement of how they were tested. Doesn't mean necessarily they're unsafe over that, but certainly with active implants or devices, you really have to take care to try to maintain the conditions of use as much as possible, I would think.
That's correct.
And then it becomes a risk versus benefit decision that comes down to the radiologist.
Right, exactly. So, Kristen, how would you describe the differences between the operating modes for SAR and gradient mode? Because, we do have normal first level operating mode that really kind of apply to both of those. How would you describe the difference, or what is the difference, and can they affect each other?
Absolutely. So SAR, as we know, it's the radio frequency. And so that is limited, and we have normal operating mode and first level controlled operating mode. Gradient mode is also limited to normal operating mode and to first level. And it is associated with the time varying gradient magnetic fields. Also, just to loop back really quickly to implants and devices, if you have a condition of use that says normal operating mode and it doesn't, actually say for SAR mode, or for gradient mode, it actually applies to both. So you have to apply it in both ways. So that's the major differences. SAR is based upon RF, and the gradient mode is based upon the time-varying gradient magnetic fields. So that's where I would go with that. Now, understanding that it's important. A lot of people don't understand that if we drop back our gradient mode, let's say from first level control to the normal operating mode, that's also going to decrease our SAR levels as well. So it does actually have an impact on that.
Well, that's right. I didn't think about that. But as you slow the gradients down, which is essentially what you're doing, then this is going to spread out time between the RF pulses. And anytime you introduce time into there, the SAR can go down. So I never thought about that with gradients themselves. To a certain extent, can be used as one of the ways to reduce the SAR. Speaking of that, back to Vera, what are some factors that technologists can touch, they can change that will have an effect on the SAR?
So anything that changes how much power is coming from the RF will change your SAR. Also, your patient to some degree will change your SAR and the type of pulse sequence that you're using. So I like to start with the pulse sequence. And if it's possible to use a gradient echo pulse sequence instead of a spin echo or a fast spin echo, which uses the 180 degree refocusing pulse, unfortunately, not all your protocols allow you to do that. So if you're operating with a spin echo or fast spin echo protocol, the very first thing I tell people is look for your sat bands. Are you putting a sat band, you know, anterior for motion reduction? And can you do without that? And I'll take that off the very first thing.
A lot of people put those on there just out of habit.
Yeah, right.
I think lumbar spines, you know, we're using head to foot as far as, you know, the fold over direction now. And so that being said, we're so used to putting that anterior sat slab, but it's actually applying RF that we don't need.
Right. And a lot of protocols I see have two or three, you know, they have one anterior, one superior, one inferior, and, you know, and you can take those off. And, you know, of course, you know, you're going to see that anatomy and, you know, it's, you're going to get some motion, but that really reduces your overall SAR. Also, the very favorite tech trick that every technologist does is as soon as you are able to reduce your TR, you will, and you'll make it, you'll spend 10 minutes making the minimum TR.
Spend 10 minutes to save 12 seconds.
Exactly. So let that TR be out there a little ways. You know, of course, it affects your weighting, so you don't want to change the weighting of your image, but, you know, it's okay to use an extra 100 TR, especially in these, you know, low SAR protocols. And then go and play with your echo train length. So as much as possible without changing your weighting, you can reduce the number of, you know, echo trains that you use. And then go play with your flip angle, your refocusing pulse. You know, you can take that from 180 to, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. For some of these low SAR protocols, I sometimes will drop it up down to 120. And that just takes less RF power and therefore less heating to the patient. So when you do all of this, you know, you can really reduce the amount of overall SAR that you're generating per pulse sequence.
Well, you know, I get this question a lot, and Kristen, you can speak to this. And techs will say, well, you know, is it possible for me to build a protocol and save it? Let's take the example of lumbar spine. Study and save that protocol so that it works every time?
Yes and no. First of all, we always have to take into consideration a lot of the things, you know, about the patient factors, you know, what kind of different parameters you're going to have to do to be able to achieve the scan. And so there's not anything that's cookie cutter in MR. I always say that. You always have to make optimization. And with that is going to be changing values in SAR many times. But it is definitely possible. And if you actually can't get a sequence to exactly where you need it, just as you were referring to 0.4 watts per kilogram or whatever that is, then you can always, you know, talk to your radiologist. And there's going to be, there's almost 100% of the time, if not 100% of the time, going to be a sequence that's similar enough to get the clinical diagnosis that you're trying to achieve. Now, Bill, I'll kind of throw this one back at you. I know that you, if you want to talk about, I know that you were looking at an implant and device and, you know, people were having trouble achieving this very low SAR value. Do you remember that situation?
Yeah, I do. And actually this is kind of interesting because, I did helped author a white paper for one of the implant device manufacturers about scanning it at 0.4 watts per kilogram. And to Vera's point for T1 weighted imaging, I chose a spoiled gradient echo, and that worked fine because it's very difficult with short TR, T1 weighting to get SAR values down, you know, that low. then for the bright fluid image, originally, I had looked at using just a standard gradient echo, a coherent type gradient echo, and that worked well. But then I was talking to a technologist on this subject, and he said, well, let me tell you what I did with my fast spin echo. And this goes back to something Vera was talking about. So what you can do on a fast spin echo for bright fluid, for T2 weighting for bright fluid, is take the TR and run it way the hay up. I mean, I'm talking about really high.
Like the hay up?
Like way the hay up, yes. Like way out there. Something like 10,000 milliseconds or 10 to 12 seconds. People all the time worry about going too high, talking about Vera, talking about, you know, trying to get the TR too low. Once you get past a certain point, you can have a TR of 2 weeks and the contrast is not going to change because once it levels off, you know, once everything regrows, it regrows. So get the TR way up there. Now, of course, your time is going to go up, of course. But then back to what Vera talked about, play with the echo train length and work between the two. And, you know, you can drop the number of averages back because you're going to gain a lot of signal if you go from 3,000 TR to, you know, 10,000 TR. And doing, actually, I was doing some work with another device manufacturer and trying to get SAR values down as low as 0.24 or something like that watts per kilogram. And I was able to do that with fast spin echo, but I had a TR that was, you know, out the wazoo. So it can be done. And, you know, yeah, you can save that protocol, and it's going to get you close because, again, back to Vera's point, you put the patient in there, and then you get different SAR calculations. So, yeah, it's possible to at least save something. But, you know, we hope this little short conversation has been helpful to you guys. Vera, any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
Well, the only thing I would say to everybody is before you start this, make sure you know how to check your SAR calculation per sequence. Make sure yep. that, you know, if you don't know, that you call your apps line for whatever vendor that you are using and have them walk you through looking at the SAR calculation per sequence because this isn't a total, you know, time per protocol, it's per sequence. So you want to make sure that you know how to do that.
Kristen, any final thoughts? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just I think that sometimes protocols get put in and they get practiced on, let's say, a volunteer, and they're saved at 0.4 watts per kilogram. And then they name it as 0.4 watts per kilogram. And some people just assume that to stay the same, even though they may make changes to the protocol or the individual sequences. And so that's something just to be aware of, that everyone needs to understand all those parameters that Vera was referring to. They're all dependent upon making sure, just like she said, you know, when you do, there's one vendor, you do the preparation phases, and then you look at that, you know, SAR value that you see prior to starting the scan. So it's important to understand how to know what that is prior to running the sequence to meet those conditions of use.
Right. You change the patient, you change the SAR estimate. But you know, again, you can at least get it close. Okay, well, again, I want to thank Kristen and Vera for joining in today. We hope you have found these useful, so check back for the next MR Safety Week 2020 SMRT podcast. Thank you, guys. We're out of here. See ya.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.